Well, why don't we get started? Okay. This has been a really great session. At least for me, not 24 hours yet, but just kind of getting to know and get acquainted with some of you. It's amazing that in the youth ministry world, we have these pockets where, you know, there's great things that go on here. And there's, like, for example, there's great things that go on with Youth Specialties, the organization that Wayne founded. But a lot of you might not know that or the history of that or whatever. But in many ways, what I want to do is help us kind of understand not only how to be a hero to the parents in your church, but how to kind of develop a ministry that really is kind of the theme, it sounds like, of this event. I didn't realize that. See, that's what you got for stopping to the Starbucks. You know, you guys have Starbucks. None of the rest of us have. And now you got to sit in the back or sit on the floor. But that's another story. And it's fascinating because my experience is, you know, I've done youth ministry since I was 17 years old, and that's kind of the only thing I know. And yet, people don't now ask me about the latest discipleship stuff, although I kind of stay up with that. What they ask me about is more this issue, you know, what's going on in kind of more of a family-oriented thing, or they ask me personal issues about their own life, interestingly enough. But I think there's been, and I mentioned this last night, I think there's been kind of this fresh breeze. I'm going to unpack what I talked about last night and go deeper. But I think there's this fresh breeze of the Spirit that actually means that we who are involved in youth ministry really have to understand that it's not just working with kids, although that's what we're primarily called to do. And I would never say that that's different. Three phrases I want to give you. One I gave you in that last session. When you reach the family, you reach the world. Okay? And frankly, we have to be thinking about that. So that means when you're talking with your kids, it might be a talk on, you know, spiritual gifts, or it may be a talk on, you know, lordship of Christ, but somehow integrating family type of issues. But when you reach the family, you reach the world. It's also, you know, how do we help that family succeed? Okay, having that in your mind when you're doing anything. The second phrase says that one of the purposes of the church is to mentor parents. Parents mentor their kids. And the legacy of faith continues to the next generation. Now, some of you who are young, and I think there's probably even some students here from Boyce or whatever, you're kind of going, yeah, right, I'm supposed to be mentoring parents. Actually, not you, but the church. The church has to help mentor parents. And again, we haven't done a good job with that. And yet, I'm going to show you, I don't care if you're 16, not that there's anybody in here who's 16, but if you were 16, you could still kind of be helping and mentoring parents, okay? But the purpose of the church, is to mentor parents. Parents mentor their kids, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation. That's really kind of God's way. One other scripture that should be very, very affirming to you, and it's found in Mark 9, 36 and 37. And Jesus took a child among them, and them is the disciples, some parents, and some kids. And by the way, it was kind of unique that Jesus even hung out with kids because, you know, in that day, rabbis spent no time with children. And actually, they spent no time with women either. They put children and women on the same level as some would, as dogs. And yet Jesus allowed children to come into his presence, which was remarkable. But then he made an amazing, amazing, amazing statement, okay? And he said, when you welcome one of these children in my name, you welcome me. Now, that was probably just an odd statement to all these people because they kind of went, well, that's weird. They didn't know what he was talking about, probably. You know how sometimes pastors will do that and you go, I have no idea what this person's talking about. Then he unpacked it. But then he said something that they thought was blasphemous. When you welcome a child, you welcome me, but not just me, but the one who sent me. So in other words, an incredibly high view of, you know, welcoming children. Now, none of the students in your youth ministry would ever want you to call them children, but in God's eyes, they are children. And so when you welcome a child, when you welcome a student, if you're at church on Sunday and you welcome a student, I got news for you. You're welcoming Jesus. And I didn't say that. He did. Okay. And not only that, but if you want to hear the character of God, go to Mark 9:42, where it says, and if anyone would cause one of these children to sin, it would be better for him or her to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck. And so, and this is God speaking. This is Jesus speaking to people saying, if anyone causes a kid to stumble or sin, then it would be better for them to die. So in other words, pretty remarkable scripture. And that sounds like a mean Jesus, I realize. So, you know, mean Jesus says, you know, you're going to, you know, if you cause a kid to stumble, you're going to die. But you know what? Think about the love he has for kids. So if you ever think your role in youth ministry is low or lower on the totem pole, that's a bunch of baloney. You've got Jesus saying, when you welcome a child, you welcome me, and you welcome not just me, but the one who sent me. So anyway, those three phrases today we'll kind of think through. Now, Wayne did an interesting thing, and as you look at it, I actually did it probably a little different than him, but Wayne has something, or Wayne talked about the history of youth ministry. And what I want to do, and it's fascinating that he talked about that, because what I wanted to do was help us understand that we are in this transition mode. So first of all, youth ministry started 160-some years ago in Great Britain, not here. We always think it happened here, and Baptists always think it happened with Baptists. It didn't, neither. It happened in the YMCA. Everybody, YMCA. And that was because the church wasn't doing it, okay? And there were other angles. About 50 years later, they started doing youth denominational societies, youth denomination societies, and that was Baptist and Methodist primarily, and primarily around here. Okay, but that was like ugly youth ministry. I mean, it was like, you know, memorizing scripture and going to camp once a year, and that was it. Okay, and again, you know, we kind of have this young, you know, youth ministry is not that. I mean, like, it really isn't that old. Okay, thirdly, the next generation starts. Actually, there were, and this is where it's going to go with what I'm going to talk about today, too. There were pockets of things happening. So there was something happening major in Kansas City, major in Chicago, major in Boston, Atlanta, Dallas, and L.A., and a little bit Portland. What was going on was they were doing these kind of Bible club things, kind of things that Wayne was talking about. But they didn't know they were all doing it. This is, I mean, you know, it's not like you had Twitter and Facebook and all this kind of stuff, okay? So This is happening, but finally they start hearing about something going on in Boston that was really similar to what was going on in Chicago, that was similar to what was going on in Kansas City, and they didn't know each other. So they call this meeting together in Chicago, and they all got together and went, whoa, you're doing the same types of things that I'm doing. And so there was this, what I would call a movement of God, that is loosely now going to be called Youth for Christ. And the reason it's called Youth for Christ is because, you know, as Wayne was talking last night, you know, they hired Billy Graham, they did all these things, and all of a sudden this movement, but it was outside of the church. But God was doing things in Atlanta that he was doing in Portland, but they didn't know about this. And this is where I'm going to go today, because I think that's the case today, too. Well, then you started having Youth for Christ. Wayne mentioned Young Life, Campus Crusade. You know, Wayne is the guy who started Campus Life. I mean, all of us have probably heard of Campus Life. He started it. Okay, in San Diego, he was so pick and humble about this stuff. Okay, but he's the originator of Campus Life. Well, all of us, every one of you, even though you may not know who he was, you've been somehow related. In Romania, they're using the same types of materials, partly because of, you know, 50 years ago, not that Wayne was doing it 50 years ago, but 50 years ago, this Youth for Christ thing kind of started. And it started at the end of that age. I sound like a dispensationalist, but at the end of that age, youth ministry age, you know, then you see Willow Creek Community Church, and you see some of the stuff that's coming out of Purpose Driven with Doug Fields and those guys, and it moved a little bit to the church. But back then, as Wayne was talking about, it was all parachurch stuff. You know, when I went to seminary, I couldn't have got a job as a youth pastor, but I got a job as the area director for Young Life, and that's kind of what you did if you were going to be in youth ministry. But today, very different. It's not the parachurch. Parachurches are groovy. I love parachurches, but guess what? They're not making the changes today that the church does, okay? And so in what we would call kind of more, and I used that term last night in a different way, but that we're in kind of a transitional generation of youth ministry, and let me tell you why I think it's so good, is because today it is church honoring much more, and really the church is the bride of Christ. So we're kind of moving it back into the church. Okay, when we think of youth ministry, we go, great, it's church honoring. Number two, it's family-based. Okay, Mark DeVries, who was up there today, he was the one who coined that phrase really early on, family-based youth ministry. It's worship-focused. I mean, think about the worship that we're having here. I mean, you know, again, they didn't do that until recent. And, you know, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And how cool that kids are more involved in worship, not every one of your youth groups, but it's great that they are. I mean, they're tied into that in a great way. Okay. You are better trained than any generation. You know, if we were talking about sexual abuse, which we're not, but, you know, one out of three young women by the time they're 18 will be sexually abused, one out of six young men. Well, when I first got into it, it never dawned on me that anybody in my youth group would have been sexually abused. Today, many of you have been trained in that area to help kids make those right and wise decisions. It's pretty remarkable. Hey, if you need the outlines, there they are. Okay. So, again, we're better trained. We use technology. We're more media savvy. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you have a question? No, that's funny. You all start raising your hands like, oh, great. People have questions already. They're going, no, they just want the outline. Duh. I'm an idiot. You know, more mission influenced, more campus evangelism, a lot more crisis intervention stuff. So we now begin to understand, you know, all these different crises. 12 million kids do self-injury and cut themselves. And, you know, we all have kids in our group who have eating disorders or cut themselves or do that kind of stuff. And we now understand a little bit better. If you're new to this, you may not. But the fact is a lot of people do understand this better. Much more multicultural and definitely more experiential. Okay, so that's the new youth group. We don't have, like, if I'm using these as dispensations, I'm kind of teasing about that, but there were distinct dispensations. This one is, we don't have it named yet because we're just in the midst of it. It's kind of cool that they're doing this event, okay? So, and some of you who are brand new in youth ministry are going, you know, this is all I know. But I got news for you, it's going to look differently, and it's going to be differently because I think we have a better understanding of it. Now, let me say this, if you want to be a hero to the people, to the parents in your church, also, it's not a program. Just get that through your head. It's not a program. Everybody's looking for a program. It's never going to be a program. Nope, not going to happen, okay? It's a mindset. So what's harder about a mindset is that, you know, you can't go to the bookstore and buy a little book for $9.95 that shows you the program to do. And we're always, as Christians, looking for that. No, it's a mindset. So you integrate it into every part of your life and, frankly, of your youth ministry life. And, frankly, integrate it into the church. The church has silos. So we have children's ministry, youth ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, recovery ministry, all this. And they don't speak to each other a lot of times. But the integrative part is family, okay? And even people who are single, even people who are going through that, the family is what influences them. So that's why I kind of want to focus on that. Just to do a review for you from last night that we're going to use as a kind of foundation, the Shema. Okay. So what does the Shema say? And you have it in front of you, and I won't even take the time to read it because we did it last night, but it's again, teaching kids loyalty to God. It's saying how we transmit faith. And by far, 92% of kids make commitments to Christ through some kind of a family issue, not through a crusade or other things, okay? So it's the family, and that's a problem for a lot of us. We probably should talk about that, okay? Because a lot of times, like my parents, they weren't going to lead me to Christ because they didn't know Christ, okay? And then it even teaches you how to be mindful of the presence of God, okay? So that's kind of the theme for this, if you would. Now, kind of brings us to part of the issue is, here's the question. How do we be heroes to the parents, and how do we help families succeed? Well, when you really start asking youth workers and you start talking about this, a lot of you in youth ministry would probably have these five issues. And I've kind of listed five issues on why we struggle with this. Okay. Number one is because it means more work. I mean, my goodness, if you're in youth ministry, you're already overcommitted. And many of you who are, I mean, I see some people who must be students in here in terms of looking at you. I see volunteers and full-time people. The fact is that we're already too busy. And so now, you know, some schmuck is going to come up and say, now you got to work with the parents. And you're going, wait, I don't have enough time just to work with the kids. Okay. So that's a valid reason. Okay. It's not, I'm going to try to answer some of these. Another one is because we're insecure. I mean, so how old is, I mean, I know you're not supposed to ask women how old you are, but how old are you, like you guys? Okay. So you're 18. How old are you? 21. You're the only. Can I card you please? Can I see you? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, so, you know, here we got our 18, 21 year old crowd. And they're going, man, I'm insecure talking to parents. Okay? And so we feel insecure. You know, what's funny is I feel more comfortable being with kids. And so sometimes I'm insecure, talking to the parents. So obviously there's some insecurity with some of us in youth ministry because we're better with kids than we are with parents. Thirdly, we see parental resistance. Interestingly, in the church, we've gotten some resistance, and maybe not in your church, but probably there is some, because the parents really don't want to get too involved, because if you get too involved, I mean, you're the ones who know that the parents drink, or that the parents screamed, or that the parents are thinking about getting a divorce, or you know all the poop on the parents, okay? And can you say that at Southern, the word poop? No, okay. Huh? It is kind of too late, okay? There you go. Poop and the parents. That's not in my notes. I've never said that before in my life. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, you know, you sense this parental resistance at times. If they get too close, then you're going to hear about their story. And parents are guarding themselves like crazy, okay? Fourth reason, interesting reason, is that you have no say in adult education. So you want to help parents succeed in families, but the adult education doesn't speak to the youth ministry, that doesn't speak to the children's ministry. And so, you know, you guys aren't integrating it. And, you know, what do you have to say? You're not the boss, so to speak. And so, you know, they're separating it. Okay. And then also sometimes conflict with the senior pastor. You know why? One of the reasons why sometimes there's a, well, I'll think of two reasons. One is because your senior pastor has a crummy family themselves, a poopy family will be the theme today. And they're not doing it right. And so they're not doing a whole lot of speaking on it. Or they're not like totally involved in it because it's not on their radar. They're ashamed of maybe some of the stuff that's going on in their life. They're not telling you that. But another reason is because the pastoral resistance on senior leader pastoral resistance sometime is because, frankly, you're working with kids whose parents are kind of leaders in the church. And that's their people, not your people. I don't want to put some of those leaders in front with you because you're just the lowly youth worker in their mind. They haven't read Mark 9, 36, and 37 for a while. Okay? So those are some of the reasons, and you could come up with some other reasons, but, you know, again, those are some of the reasons why, you know, it's not working. And our task is not to be just a commentator, not to be a dictator, but to actually facilitate growth. You know what your bottom line in youth ministry is? Not how many kids do you have coming to your group. I honestly don't care. But where will they be 5 to 10 years from now? Where will they be 20 years from now? And so if you're making decisions like that, then that means you're going to facilitate families. That means you are actually going to help your kids not only get along better with their parents and the parents understand their kids, but you're also going to do things like, believe it or not, talk to them about how to have a good marriage. Okay, because, you know, when did you have many, you know, lessons at church when you were in youth group on marriage? I mean, I sure didn't. After I became a Christian, I don't remember one. Okay, and you can't find a lot of curriculum that's on this kind of stuff. And so again, you know, we're not helping kids do this except for some of us role modeling. Okay, and what's interesting in the church is we need, you know, the 18 and 21 year olds who may not be married. I'm looking on your hand to see if you guys are not. Okay, they're available, by the way. Okay, for lunch. But we need these guys because they're cool and groovy, and they want to be able to. The kids want to say, "Guy, I want to be like them." But at the same time, you need old geezers like me who say, I want a grandpa or a dad like you, okay, or a mom like you or whatever it may be. So that's why we need, because so much of youth ministry is role modeling. We spend so much time talking about Bible studies, and my goodness, I don't know, I haven't been to the bookstore, but they probably have some of my books there, and there's all these Bible study type things. But that's not it, because that's programming. It's more about the relationship. So again, it's back to mindset, okay? So again, you're facilitating. Now, I'm going to answer the question that Troy asked us at that general session in four ways, and we're going to kind of look through these four ways, and it's going to be very practical, actually, is here's what I'm saying we need to do to help parents succeed and help families succeed, help kids and be a hero to the parents, okay? Number one is information. Number two is we need to assist parents. Number three is we need to encourage parents. Number four, we need to involve parents. And that's simply, I'm kind of giving you more or less, you know, where we're going to go here, okay? Information. Okay, number one, we'll look at information. Parents are dying for information, okay? In fact, a study done by Group Magazine, everybody familiar with Group Magazine? Group? Okay. In fact, the Group Simply Youth Ministry Youth Worker Convention is going to be here in March in Louisville, interestingly enough. So if you decide to go to that, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome convention. And it means I get to miss the cold part of Louisville because I get here, although I think it's cold today, and then I get to come in March, and, you know, it's colder in January, but I'm going to be back here at that. But they did a study recently where they asked parents of kids in youth group, what do you want to tell your youth workers? We should all hear this. You know what they said their number one need was? Information. They go, they say that we're supposed to be involved, but we don't know what you teach us, what you teach our kids. We don't know when the summer camp is, even though you told my kids don't tell me. And I'm not going to your website all that much because your website's kind of a dud website for me as a parent, is what they're saying. I'm not saying yours is. I don't know. So what's happening is they want information. So I think we need to do some things that can involve parents in terms of informing them by having parent nights. And I don't know if any of you have had a parent night where you invite parents and like the three parents who didn't need to come are the only parents who show up. But you know what that probably means? You're not meeting their needs. So a parent night, in my opinion, is, I call it chocolate dipped strawberries. Honor them with, like, chocolate dipped strawberries. You know, when you have those, it's like they're so good and, like, it's special. It's not just, you know, chunking on a Snicker bar, although that's not bad either. But have somebody, not you, but have somebody, one of the parents, have great food and then really honor them with some good quality, quote-unquote, kind of programming. So inform them, give them information, give them a calendar. That means you got to plan ahead of time. Okay. Because you know what? You're competing with like their vacation. If you have a summer camp in the summer, the kids in your youth group would rather go on summer camp with you than go on the vacation with the parents. And we should never compete with that. So we just got to let them know ahead of time. See? So you give them some information. But then also, if you're in a larger church, I mean, if you're trying to disciple kids and the parents don't know who's trying to do this. Do you know who Tony Campolo is? Do you know that name, any of you? His son, Bart, worked in for me. And Bart was a youth worker when he graduated from Brown University, and he was living with Kathy and me. And one day he calls up an 8th grade girl, and he goes, "Hey, you want to go to the beach today?" Because we did a thing every Thursday. We live at the beach. We did a thing where we had, you know, beach day, and so the kids would come to the beach. And so he says to an 8th grade girl, "Do you want to go to the beach?" Well, the girl knew what he was talking about, but she goes to the mom and says, "Hey, Mom, Bart, one of the youth leaders wants to take me to the beach." "Well, how old is Bart?" "Oh, I don't know. He's out of college, I guess." "I want to talk to Bart." You know, so she's screaming at Bart going, "How dare you, you know, want to take my daughter to the beach?" She goes, no, wait, it's a youth group thing. So it ends up that I have to talk to her and say, "I am so sorry." But what I wanted to say was, "Hey, we've had two parent meetings where I've introduced Bart to the parents. You didn't show." Now, I'm not burning on her because we need to communicate better. And Bart should have said, "It's a youth group thing. Can I talk to your mom?" and all this kind of stuff. I mean, really. But the point I'm being is sometimes you just introduce. But also what I've ended up doing more and more at things that we do at our church and that we did even in the past is have some kind of a little 20-minute seminar. So find a reason for these parents to come, and you don't run this thing. I mean, be up front, but let what I call Elizabeth do it. It's a mom who is like amazing, and she calls all the other moms, and she gets the people to come. You don't have to do it. Everybody needs an Elizabeth, okay? Doug Fields at Saddleback had an Elizabeth. She's an incredible lady, and you know, she would make parent things happen, okay? And so he could show up. And what we started doing is even some fun things. We started doing some parents' nights with kids. And even kids who didn't have their parents come could come because they'd have a blast and they got chocolate-dipped strawberries instead of the, you know, crappy stuff from usually youth group stuff. So they'd be there. And I can remember one time we played a game where I was leaving that week. I had been at the church for 7 years, and I was actually handing it over to Doug Fields. He was an intern for me for 7 years, and so he took the job, and I was moving on. And so our pastor is there because they're going to give a little cake thing to me or something. And Doug's there. My wife's there. And so I'm doing this thing. And I said, "I want to run the game." And I'm terrible at games. I hate games. I mean, I like games, but I'm not good at running them. And they're like, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, I do." Because there was a lady in our church. I'm going to call her Mary. Unfortunately, that's her real name. And she was one of these people. And every one of you have a Mary in your church. This lady, like her daughter was in my youth group. Her husband was really cool. She griped about everything. One day, I'm in a sport coat, which is unique, but I was wearing a sport coat. And she comes up to me after the church I preached. And she goes, your sport coat color doesn't match with the back. You're going to need another sport coat. And it's really not your colors. And I go, what are you talking about? And she starts talking about how women, you guys maybe know this, you have spring colors and winter colors and all this. And she's explaining to me that my sport coat isn't going. And I just want to say, "Mary, you're an idiot. I'm sorry." But would never say it. All the pastors had problems with Mary. She just complained. You'd go to another church, Mary. So at this particular thing, I said, "Hey, I need three parent volunteers." And I picked two cool dads who nobody raised their hand. And then I said, "And Mary," not that you're Mary. You're very nice, I'm sure. But I go, "And Mary, thanks. And you can volunteer too." So she was kind of the kind of mom that would kind of do it. Okay. So they go to the soundproof booth and they are told that what you're going to do is you're going to ride a motorcycle and that the people are going to try to guess what it is. What I told the crowd is that they were going to imitate their bathroom habits. Okay. So the first person that comes out is Mary. And like, I can see Tim Timmons, who was our pastor, and he's like looking at me like, "What are you doing with Mary?" Well, Mary's the kind of person that she kind of had her, honestly, I would kid you not, she kind of had her nose up in the air, and this is terrible to say this. I've already said poop, so I guess I can say this. Her bottom would kind of stick out like this, and she'd kind of walk like this, and she wore really tight, not tight like sexual, just tight gross, kind of a skirt, and she was always kind of dressed up, and, you know, we're at the beach, so we're a lot more, I'm dressed up for you today, and you know, it's a little more casual. But you get the picture of who this lady is. She works, so she's in kind of like a business suit, and she kind of comes walking up. I said, "Mary, are you ready to, you know, try it out with a group?" And I could see Tim, our pastor, just has this smile. He didn't like Mary. And except the husband was a great guy and actually gave a lot of money to the church. But it's another story. So Mary does this. She goes like this. And as soon as she does this, it's like she's riding on the people think she's riding on the toilet, but she just thinks she's going to get on a motorcycle, and she starts going. Well, at this point, I'm sitting down now. I'm rolling. And then she starts going. Because people are laughing, now she's into it, so she's doing it even more so. It's just ridiculous. Her husband is having, it's better than, his honeymoon. He's laughing so hard. The daughter is underneath the chair. Timmons, my pastor, has tears in his eyes, and Doug Fields thinks it is the funniest thing that has ever happened in his life. And so then, she just makes a fool of herself, and then I bring in the other two, and, it was just a joke. Fun. I have no idea why I told you that story. But... And also, by the way, remember, I was leaving the church the next week, so, I could not be in trouble at all. Funny, one last thing on that story. So the next day, our pastor, who didn't have much of a, it's funny, great upfront person, but, he's not like spent a whole lot of time with the youth pastor. But he's walking, reading something, and I'm going to the bathroom, and we pass, and he just kind of goes, hey, give me five, Mary. I come into the last pastor's meeting, they're like, Mary, good job, Jim. Mary, they'd all heard about it. The point being, and there is a point to this, is have fun. Let parents, what I said was speak on something. Give, not you, but give somebody a chance to do it. In May, I'd always bring an OBGYN to talk about sex and sexuality for the parents. And the OBGYN would freak them out. She's showing signs, she's showing PowerPoint type things of gonorrhea. It's freaking parents out. This is what gonorrhea looks like, and all of your kids are going to have it if they have sex. The parents are freaking out. But what I'm saying is, at the end, they're hugging me because they like this so much. So information means, have an information night. This is probably one of the more bizarre seminars I've ever given in my life. Newsletters. Today, obviously, you can do it online. Hey, if you want a free newsletter, go to homeward.com, sign up for the parents' newsletter. It's free. And we send it out once a month and rip it off of us. So use our deal, but some of our content, and then just send it on to your parents if you want. Or create your own, which is even better, of course. But... on our parent newsletters, there'll be four articles, and it's by me or funny Walt. I think we use Walt a lot because of his culture stuff. I know we've used Wayne before, but it's get content, but don't just put calendar stuff out there. Do that, but also give them some content. Make that a good thing. If you're going to have a phone line. Maybe you have a youth group phone line where they can call. Parents can call and just hear your information. Hey, today, this week. We're going through a study on the Lordship of Christ. It goes from 7 to 8:30 because sometimes kids will say that the youth group is done at 9:30 because they want to go smoke or something afterwards. This is it. By the way, this is first time for signups for the for the winter camp and blah blah blah, and you do that. And don't do 2 minutes of music, okay? Jars of Clay and Switchfoot are great, but I get on these youth group lines and I'm like, come on, I know this song. I don't want to hear the song. I want to get right to whatever the deal is. So, but do some kind of a hot, youth group type, hotline thing. In-home visits, in terms of information, you could also almost put that in anything. But what I find is that I can learn a lot about a kid by being in their home. And here's a psychological trait that's fascinating, you guys. If you're in the home, if you're in my home, then I feel closer to you. If I'm just at this thing with you or if I know you from church, it's great. But when you're in my home, I feel like I can talk to you more. Not maybe just in the home, but now you're a part of my life, okay? So Danny is in my youth group. He's a totally hyperactive kid. And he's been with me for 9 months. He actually is from the South. His family had moved. I had never met his mom and dad. And after about 9 months, I was always giving him a ride home. And he kind of was like, hey, Jim, can I have a ride home? And so I'd drive him, as I'm driving, he's talking. I'm like all, hyper ADD myself from him. And so one night I said, hey, can I meet your parents? And it was kind of like 8:45 or so. So it's kind of like the bewitching hour. You don't want the dad sitting in his boxers drinking a beer, watching TV or something. But, it's just, you don't really know. But I said, would your parents be up? Oh, yeah. And so, he comes to the door and he knocks. And so, this woman's like, the kid should have just walked in. But, I guess because I was there. And she walks and she sees me. So, she comes up to the door. She thinks he's in trouble because Danny should have been in trouble for something. And... he said, Mom, this is Jim, who I've been telling you about. He's the leader at our church. If you ask them, what do you do? They had no idea what I did, but, and she says, why, Pastor Burns, it's a beautiful Southern accent. It's so nice to meet you. We've heard so much. You know, we're new to the area. And I'm thinking, yeah, 9 months. We're new to the area, and we'd love to be visiting your church. And when I laughed, because she was just so different than Danny, because she here was this wonderful Southern belle of a lady, and she was so polite and all this stuff, even though she said she wanted to come to church. You know, it had been 9 months, lady. Figure it out some Sunday. So she said, I'd be honored to introduce you to my husband, Dan. And Dan, come on in. Would you like some iced tea? You know, it's the kind of thing. I'm trying to get out of there, but at this point, I'm now in the house. And so, you know, Dan comes around the corner. And he's going, hey, like Pastor Burns, nice to meet you. And I go, that's why Danny acts the way he does. But see, I didn't understand that. So what happens is I get there. I do have the iced tea. We kind of hang out. Guess who's at church next Sunday? Dan and his wife. Okay. Why? Because I happen to hang out. I didn't say, we're here on a visit. Here's the Bible. Here's, you know, go through this. I just happened to hang out in their house. You know what? I ended up being pretty good friends with these guys. And they had a lot of need with Danny. And my wife is an expert on ADD and autism and all this kind of stuff. And so Danny had some. And so, you know, they started hanging out with my wife, too. But what I'm saying is sometimes the information, just to simply say, hey, you know, sometime you have to come to church. It's, you know, it starts at 9. You know, Dan, you guys drop Dan off at 9 because I know he's most of the time at our high school ministry. Just, you know, come on over sometime. And if you do, look me up. You know, that kind of a thing, see, is what I'm saying. So that's good stuff. And then I guess one other thing in terms of informing is community awareness. So let's say that you're in the Louisville area and Mark DeVries is coming through to do an Understanding Your Teenager seminar at another church. So that's community awareness. You didn't have to pay for Mark DeVries. Some other church did, but let them know about it. Or if the local hospital is having a thing on cutting or eating disorders or stuff, that parents aren't coming and talking to you about the problems with their kids at this point, but let them know that there's a special deal. You know, give them information on what's going on in the community so they begin, in terms of information, seeing you as a place that's going to inform them. Okay, so that's one of the answers that I'd give is give them information. Secondly is assist them, okay? Big time assist them, okay? And you can do all kinds of things. You know, today I'm one of these guys who's into, with parents, I don't think they do well with like the parent of teen class for 52 weeks. I don't know that works. They're probably too busy. But, you know, special seminars. Say you do quarterly seminars for parents. And, you know, you can use, or, you know, Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the country. In fact, every one of those guys up on the stage today do parenting seminars for us. I'm doing one in Dallas tomorrow. Doug Fields is doing one in Kansas City. Wayne is doing one in Houston. So, you know, we have 20 speakers from around the country. And that's a more expensive gig because you got to pay for these people to get out there and all that kind of stuff. When you do that, if you're not in a large church, then you need to bundle some churches together and do it. I think that's what they're doing with Doug in Kansas City. But what I was going to say is do parenting seminars that, you know, I mentioned how to help your kid get a college scholarship. Well, you know what? There's people from this school who you could call and say, hey, would you come and speak to my parents about how to help the kids get a college scholarship? And they don't have to just wear voice all over they can unashamedly be about voice, but they need to help them understand public education, community college, all that kind of stuff too. But do those kinds of things. Here's the ones I like, that are somewhat easy. The Private Life of the American Teenager. And I'm just making this up, but it's helping them understand kind of culture, okay? Understanding Your Teenager. I'll use some of our things. How to talk to your kids about sex and sexuality, okay? Creating an intimate marriage type issues. And you're saying, well, what does that have to do with youth ministry? Actually, if you can help a marriage, man, you're going to help the kids big time, okay? You know, kind of more of a philosophy of parenting. I'm doing confident parenting next week. Confident parenting, something like that. Drug proof your kids. I'm just kind of making up these different types of topics, but those are the kind of topics. How to help your kid grow spiritually. Okay. Energizing your family spiritual life, things like that. Now, you're not going to make that as an evangelistic tool because no people outside of the church care about that, but it's a primary issue inside the church. Homeward.com, where we reside at Homeward. When people sign up for like a parent newsletter or something, they have the option to fill out a questionnaire. And parents, for the last 31 months, have put that the number one thing that they have are the people who come to our website. And 69% are women and then men, because more women moms come to things like this than dads do. But the number one thing is how do I help my kid grow spiritually? And how do I build a legacy of faith? Isn't that interesting? I thought it would be like, you know, how do I keep my kids from having sex or, you know, those kinds of things. It's there. but the predominant one is you know, more of the generational stuff. So you're assisting parents. How is your church assisting parents? Now, the thing is you don't have to be the assisting parent person. You just have to be a good resource person. So do you have, you know, kind of support group for parents of teens? Okay, it's like AA for, you know, people who have teens. I just wrote a book called Teenology, and I start my, and I actually have more secular press probably than Christian. I mean, there's Christian press, but secular has really hit it big time right now. And I open it by saying, raising teens is part joy, part guerrilla warfare. And they always pick up on that. It's the funniest thing. But it's partly because, you know, they need help. So are you serving the needs of them? Well, one of the ways to do it is just get a group of people together. See, so again, you know, parents of people in the, you know, who are teens, and have them and form a support group. Maybe what you do is find them resources. A lot of what your job is to get resources to them. So you find a book that has resources. You know, Teenology has a free downloadable thing where it's just a small group. Willow Creek right now is having 500 women of all things go through that, and this curriculum is free. You just push the button and it, you know, pops out. There you go. So again, there's lots of things that you can do with that. Family counseling. That's how you're going to assist parents. Parents should know that they could come to you for a list of good counselors in the area. You know, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So let's say you're not into psychology. That's fine. Then just find some counselors for them. Pastoral counselors, I don't care who you get. I'm just saying you provide the resource for them. That's how you'll assist them, okay? And then they can kind of do it almost anonymously because parents are, you know, unfortunately sometimes kind of, you know, whacked out on not wanting to do that as well. Develop a library just for parents of teens and have Elizabeth do it. Say, Elizabeth, collect all the books that these, you know, all these parents read these books. You know, most of you don't have the budget to buy a bunch of books or, you know, various things, CDs or whatever. So, you know, just get a loaning library out, okay? For many of the kids who don't have dads, or maybe their parents aren't in the church, then you do kind of a big brother, big sister program. And that's kind of how you get some of the older adults kind of hanging out with them. So again, you assist parents, and you could come up with a bunch of different ways of doing that as well. And then you encourage parents, okay? Lots of ways you can do that. I would suggest that every church in America has what we call a Parent Recognition Sunday, where it's all about parents. You know, we did a really cool thing at our church when my daughter Becca was in eighth grade. We filmed a thing, and we had actually a banquet. We did the whole day was about parent recognition, and the sermon was on that and whatnot. It wasn't a beat up parent sermon. It was like your groovy parents because they need help. And then we did this banquet from the youth group. And the youth group served, so it was kind of funny to see the kids who, you know, they're serving their parents and stuff. And then we had videos, and the kids could have 25 seconds to say something, affirmation to their parents. And we didn't know how great it was going to be, but we, you know, we kind of edited them down and whatnot. But kids are going, you know, they're saying, you know, my mom and dad are the best. And most of these kids have not said that to their parents, right? And, like, I'm thinking it's going well because I'm thinking programming, and all of a sudden my daughter Becca comes up on the screen, and she goes, my mom and dad are the most important people in my life, and they brought me to Jesus. And all of a sudden now it's not programming. I am weeping in the back. I'm looking at my wife, and she's totally a mess. She's kind of, you know, doing this thing. And then we move on. Well, what happened was we needed that from her. And you can provide that as a youth worker of getting your kids to do that. But, you know, it doesn't have to be on video, but, you know, in the different ways you do that, okay? Attend events of kids. We call that contact work. But sit with the parents sometimes, and even you know, youngsters, do that. Sit with the parents. They really appreciate it, and they'll ask you questions, and they'll engage with you, and plus then you'll meet all the other parents because they all come to the games or the dance recitals or whatever it is. So sometimes sit with them because they're the ones who are going to help you get the kids to church too. Then go out, give high five to the kids, do all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you're encouraging parents, encourage them. And while you're doing it, I use this all the time, character trait ID. So let's say that Dan is a dad of a teenager, which he's not, but let's say that he is, and I know his son, Danny, and I go to Dan at church, and I just say, hey, Dan, Danny is such a leader at church, and also he's a servant. You know, he helps move the chairs around, and he does this, and he does that, and Dan right then is doing something at the church, and I say, I can see he gets that from you. Thanks so much for the role model. Well, you know what? I just made Dan stay. But I also reminded Dan in a small way without preaching to him that it's role modeling. It's more caught than taught, so to speak. And so those are the kinds of things, you know, in terms of encouraging and then involving. Okay. My feeling is that we've got to involve parents in the youth group. Now, please don't hear me say that every parent should be, you know, volunteers. I mean, for one thing, like two of my daughters wouldn't have minded me being volunteers, Kathy and me, and we were. But daughter number three didn't want us there. I mean, she still doesn't. In my little world, if I'm known, and I have a radio broadcast, and so in the L.A. area, you know, a million people a day hear our radio broadcast, and a lot of it's the L.A. area, so I'm more well-known in the Christian circles. She still doesn't, I don't think, say the last name, okay? Because she wouldn't have wanted us there. That was her place, so we didn't do it. Okay, we backed off, but we still need to be involved in it. So I think you need to have adults, just like if you had football or basketball or a dance recital or gymnastics or cheerleading or whatever it is, every parent needs to be involved in that, right? One way or the other. I mean, they're driving kids, they're bringing food, they're helping with the fundraisers, whatever. So find ways to involve parents. Some of them can be leaders, and kids actually need that role model. They need the groovy 18-year-old, and they need the not-so-groovy mom. They still need that, okay? But they also need somebody to help raise funds for you for a mission trip. And there's some dads who could do that, definitely some moms as well, of course. You need food, so get better food because they're that. You need driving. You need all these things. So just at that meeting, you say, hey, we have a sign up. You know, when my kids were gymnasts and dancers, so what do gymnasts and dancers become? They become competition cheerleaders, and that's what I have three daughters, so of course we have no hormones or drama in our life. And at a season, they were cheerleaders, and we'd go to the cheer meeting, and I would always want to be ducking the cheer meeting because I'd sit in the way back, and then because I knew that at the end, the cheer coach was going to go, need 100% participation from all of you, and you know, you can sign up for boom, boom, boom. So one time, I didn't go. But I still needed to be a part of it because that's the way the cheer thing worked. And so I became the fundraiser for the cheer thing. And they're flying. These are competition cheerleaders. They're going from California to Orlando to, you know, I mean, all over the country, Hawaii. I mean, all these things, expensive. So I was in charge of a car wash. And it was kind of the typical youth ministry car wash. I mean, we've all done this to raise for mission trip things. So they've never had a good car wash. Okay. And so I said, I can do this. And so I said, I'm in charge. I call up a couple of dads. You want to help me? Yeah, they'll help me. And then the girls. And so all the girls had to come. It was mandatory for the girls to come. You know, the coach made them. So we're standing there. We're ready to wash cars. We have a couple of really horrible signs, and no one is coming. So I say to the girls, girls, we need to go get some business. We're going to change this because I think we're charging like, you know, $8 for a car wash or something. We're going to put car wash free. And then under really small letters, just put donation happily accepted. Okay, and I want you to go stand on the corner out in front of Dana Hills High School and do the sign bit and let's get some business. So we make the signs. Nobody's still there. We go outside. You know, they go that way, and so we're kind of the dads and I are kind of talking, and we brought donuts and there was some coffee. So you know, we're having a good time, and all of a sudden cars just start coming in like crazy. And we were supposed to be done at noon. It is now 2:00, and we have still a line of cars. We are busy, sweaty. I'm going, where are these girls? Because they're all out, you know, just getting us more business. And I'd even said to somebody, you know, let's close this thing down because it was late. And what we would do is we would say, thanks so much for letting us wash your car. We'd love to offer you the chance to have a donation. You don't have to pay for it. People are giving us 20s. I mean, it was great. So we made $1,600. It was a great thing. My wife comes. It's about 2 hours later. Now, it's way past the time it's supposed to close. And she goes, Jim, do you know what the girls are doing out there? And I said, I have no idea. We've been so busy. She goes, the girls have taken off their sweatshirts. They have their, workout bra. Not a bra, but a sports. So they have sports bras. They have rolled down their shorts because they were in sweats. So they've taken off their sweats. They've rolled down their sweats. You know how like cheer type girls do. And it's like to the very bottom place. If they breathe wrong, you might see something you wouldn't want to see. They're in short shorts, and so this is a cheer squad. This is not the Christian cheer squad. They're out there doing, and they have somebody has got a boom box, and they're dancing, you know, and they've been doing this for like hours. Well, no wonder all these cars are like this. So Jim, the, you know, youth pastor has, you know, raises more money. The teacher's going, Jim, she wasn't even there. She just goes, Jim, you did more and better than anybody. Way to go. You know, I get a, you know, applause at the, you know, parents thing. And my wife is like, Jim. That is ridiculous what they were wearing. And your daughters were there too. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay. So anyway, you got to be careful if you ever have some dorky men do the fundraising thing. Make sure that they have the girls keep their tops on. Okay. But again, I'm serious about involving, okay? Prayer. There are people in your church who would love to pray for your kids. Now, again, I don't think you make it a gossip session. But, you know, would it be amazing if, and it will be moms more than dads, but if some moms got together once a week and prayed for your youth group and you were somehow a part of that by giving them some prayer requests? But again, not, you know, so-and-so is, you know, going too far with her boyfriend or something. You got to be careful on that. I would say a parents' council. What I call it, a parents' advisory council. Okay. You know, again, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall, and the multitude of counselors are safety. It's not a time to gripe. It's a time for them to give you input. Okay. Parent-kid socials. We do kid socials. We do adult socials, but do some parent-kid socials. You may do that if you're married with family, but they don't. Okay. Parent-teen banquets. Parent-teen retreats. See? You know, just the list could go on and on. Now, let me give you a... Let me have you enter. I want to introduce you to a family, okay? Now, this is kind of a typical family who's at your church. And actually, I'm going to use them as an alcoholic, but it could be any dysfunctional family. And dysfunction just kind of means broken. So I need six volunteers to come on up. So come on up. Six volunteers. All you have to do is look beautiful. Look at that. No, you're on the man. You're. Come on. You don't have to act. And just I need six volunteers, too. I need one woman, by the way, in here, just for what I'm going to do.
Oh, come on.
There's your woman right there. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Good job. Okay, one more. You are so shy. This is ridiculous. Okay, here we go. Okay, first of all, we have Dan. Dan, take that chair and put it on this. We're going to do this on the stage. Put it on the stage, and then I want you, Dan, to stand on the chair. Okay? Now, Dan is an alcoholic. Everybody say, hi, Dan. And he's an alcoholic, but he's what we call a functioning alcoholic. And what that means is he's at your church, he's involved in stuff, but not that involved. But he makes a lot of money. He does actually quite well in his job, but he's functioning right now. Sometimes functioning alcoholics become, you know, much more horrible alcoholics, okay? And he has a lovely wife named Kara. This is Dan. Dan, move back because Kara's going to have to stand in front of you. Come on, Kara. So, Kara... Dan, Kara, you're now married. Okay. Now, this may be a little uncomfortable for you, but you're not going to face that way. You're going to actually face Dan. And Dan, you're going to have to put your hand on Kara's shoulders here. Pretty intimate for, you know, not knowing each other. And you can put your hand kind of on his arm there. Okay. It looks like they're dancing at Southern Seminary. I think that's a problem. But the reason I have Dan here kind of being higher than everybody else is because he is a dysfunctional family person, and he's an alcoholic, that really everything is going to center around him. Now, what's say it again?
Kara.
Kara is what we call the enabler or the codependent. She is the prayer warrior at church. She's an amazing person, and she's keeping track of all of her four boys, who look all alike, actually, okay? And they actually look almost as old as Kara. That's just what's wild. You've done very well for being a mom of kids this age. But her function is to kind of keep him steady as well as manage the house, right? Now, what's interesting is, you know, she'll argue with him and all that kind of stuff, but frankly, her job is to kind of keep him steady, okay? They have four lovely boys. Boy number one is Jared. Jared, stand up here. Jared, put your hand on your mom and your hand on your dad. Jared is what we call the hero of the family, okay? And what that means is he's in a dysfunctional family, but his job is... He wants dad to be proud of him, and he wants mom to be proud of him, too. And so he gets good grades. He's actually very involved in the youth group. He even may become a youth worker one day, but right now he's in high school. But he's the hero of this family, okay? And you, as a youth worker, identify him, and you even get that he's the hero of this family as well, okay? So anyway, mom's proud like crazy. Dad is proud, but he doesn't know how to do I'm proud of you type stuff because of his alcoholism. He doesn't do intimacy well. Intimacy means not sex, but intimacy means emotional connection. Okay. Then they have another son named Gary. Gary, you are the lost child. And what I want you to do is go right to the edge of that. And I want you to put your nose on that little wall thing and just keep it there for the rest of the time. Now, Gary is an obedient child. Look at that nose. What a deal. Okay. Now, Gary is also in your youth group. He may be more involved in the youth group than he is with the family because there's a lot of tension. In any family where there's alcoholism and dysfunction, all that, there's just a lot of tension. So what Gary does is he's just gone. interesting enough, when he's in high school, he may be gone to the youth group and be very involved, and you've got a bunch of Garys in your youth group, okay? But Gary also, if he's from Louisville, he's not going to go to school here. Oh, no, he's going to go to Florida. He's going to go to New York. All the lost children come to California. He's going to go to New Orleans area, LSU. He's going to go to Louisiana, but he's going to get away from here because he doesn't want to live in this thing, okay? So he gets away. He actually marries a girl from Louisiana, and he lives in Louisiana now. And although at Christmas he may call and stuff, he's not that involved in his family. How's that make you feel, Mom? Bad. It makes her feel bad. And also, a lot of moms who have lost children, they just feel sad. Notice that I didn't say he's on drugs and he got 9 women pregnant. I said he's not a bad guy. He's just out of the picture. Some of you may be lost children. Okay. For me, I was a hero. And then I've also been the lost child, because when I became a Christian, I thought, man, I don't want to be a part of this family system. This was my family system, okay? We've got the third guy is Matthew. And Matthew, stand up. Why'd you have all boys? Isn't it a little tough to have all these boys? Okay. Matthew, stand up here. Matthew is what we call the clown. He wears orange tennis shoes, okay? Oh, amazing. Anyway, Matthew deals with his pain where Gary deals with it by being lost and Jared deals with it by being the hero. He's just the clown. And all of us have this kid in our youth group, by the way. And they actually, you know, we love that kid, too. But they can sometimes be obnoxious. Anybody have one of these kids in your youth group? Yeah, of course you do. So you're going to go around, and you're going to tickle dad and mom, and you're going to tickle your brother. Be careful how you tickle mom. I've seen this where it got out of hand here, too. Okay, so go ahead. Just be your obnoxious self. Matthew, you're wearing orange tennis shoes. You can do this. Gary, put your nose back to the wall. You are not being the obedient child. So, okay, keep going around. Matthew, just kind of come around this way. You're just kind of doing this little dance for us. Okay, see that? So Matthew, with Matthew just being the obnoxious person that he is, he's the clown. Okay? And then we have one last child named Elijah. It's a perfect name for this because Elijah is the one that they had the biblical hope for. And Elijah is what we call the scapegoat or the rowdy. It means Elijah grows a beard, smokes dope, gets a girl pregnant. He acts it out. So you're going to go around and karate chop your family while Matthew is still doing his thing. Okay? So karate chop your family. Okay? What's interesting about Elijah is doing this because he's rebelling against the family. He's acting it out. But you know what's interesting is he may be healthier than the hero. Heroes kill themselves because they snap. There's too much pressure on them. This guy just needs to get some help. Okay. So dad, stop. Elijah, stop. Dad, put your hand on Elijah because he's out of control. Dad actually may stop drinking for a while to try to help Elijah. Mom, although it's going to be uncomfortable, kind of lean over and help your son there, okay? Why I say that? See, mom has a very uncomfortable job. Just think about it. She's had to put her hands up like this all this time. She's leaning over. This is a tough gig. But dad can't handle it because as an alcoholic, he doesn't know how to cope with stress properly. So the only way he copes with stress is start drinking. So Elijah does something stupid, and Dan starts drinking again. So mom, you're going to have to keep Dan. You're going to have to keep your husband going. So Kara, go ahead and go back there. Dan, go to your wife. And then you start karate chopping again. Let's see the clown thing one last time. Jared, you do your thing. Gary, you're there. Okay, this is the family of a lot of the kids in your youth group. So give them a hand. They did a great job. Kara, thank you very much. They're not orange shoes. They're orange and black shoes. Now, the point that I'm saying here is that that's more like the family who's in the youth group than the family that you may be thinking it is. Did you take a picture of her? It's great. Her with all these guys. Okay. Her surrounded by all these older guys. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, got married today. Had 4 kids. Yeah. See you soon. But again, what we're talking about here this is called family systems. And so what we've got to understand is the family system, the kids are, if they're most influenced by their parents, then we've got to be able to, as youth workers, to understand that it's not that when they show up to church, all of a sudden, okay, here they are, and we're going to teach a cool Bible study. No, lots of other stuff is going on. Okay, and that's why I'd show you that kind of a deal. So as you're thinking about youth ministry, remember, think about the fact that there were fights that morning, or there were, you know, think about your life. I mean, that kind of stuff happens, you know. I mean, when I started having teenagers, my girls started to become teenagers. You know, I can remember one time with Becca, who's, you know, became a missionary, and now she works at Homeward. But I can remember when she was in eighth grade, I said, I put my arm around her as we're walking into church. I said, hey, Becca, I hope you enjoy wearing that outfit because it has to be the last time you wear it to church. I can see your underwear, you know, or whatever. She was wearing, there was a time, there was kind of these baggy pants things, and I could see her underwear. And she goes, you can't, Dad. I go, they're purple. She goes, oh. So again, I wasn't trying to just totally burn on her, but just, you know, I mean, it wasn't, she didn't then go, hey, Dad, thanks so much for checking on that. I really appreciate it. She just kind of went, and then, you know, went off to youth group. Okay. So again, there's a lot of stuff that's going on within the family. We sometimes just pick them up right at youth group. We got to understand, no, there's a whole backing thing going on, background of this. Okay. Now, one of the things that I've done with you with this handout, some of you were going, can he even get through this in this time period? Well, these are handouts. I wanted to show you these things because they're really cool things. These are things that we've made up at Homeward for various things. But for kids, sometimes you can learn a lot about their family by doing this, what we call family coat of arms. And so the kid fills it out, the family name, where the family's from, our family's favorite meal, our family's favorite tradition. I've done this with families too, okay? But you may want to have them, you know, just use that. Use it as a curriculum sometime if you want, or, you know, I learned this from Wayne Rice. The essence of creativity is the ability to copy, so rip this thing off. The next one is My Family, My Home, and you can learn more about the kid too. And the kid can learn more about their family. So I just showed you two of those, okay? But then I wanted to show you just a few things that you can do with family. For example, how our family handles conflict is out of a Bible study that I wrote out of Colossians 3. But if you look at this, think about your own life in terms of conflict. All of you deal with conflict in different ways. So this is, and I actually do this in marriage things. In fact, I'm going to teach it on marriage tomorrow. But I'll teach this conflict deal, and I'll kind of give you the quick and dirty version here. But there's conflict. You have two ways of dealing with conflict. One is by being defensive and closed, and one is on the other side being non-defensive and open. Now, most marriages, they're defensive and closed, frankly, and that's why their marriages suck, okay? And so when you're defensive and closed, then there's an intent to protect. Are you following this? It's in the blue. And when there's an intent to protect, then you avoid your own personal responsibility. And basically, if you go down to the fourth part, you either do it by control, by compliance, or by indifference. So if I'm in conflict with Kathy and I'm not doing it right, I tend to go to indifference. I act like it's like I'm kind of indifferent, and that drives her absolutely nuts. Kathy goes to control, immediate control. So those are our two defense mechanisms that are negative. Okay, and we had to learn that about each other. Okay, but families do the same thing. Well, interestingly enough, the negative consequences, and it's funny, I didn't bring my glasses, so I can hardly read these things, but the negative consequences for the child are pretty strong here. Negative consequences for the parent, you know, we just kind of have these things written down. So if you look at them, if you're doing the conflict on the negative side and you're being defensive, then you're going to have some really crummy behavior happen. But you can have conflict, but when you do it when they're more open with an intent to learn, and you know, there's kind of a process of exploration, and you take some of the responsibility, then it happens in a better way. So I just wanted to show you that this might be something that you could kind of, you know, go through sometime if you wanted to. And then I gave you a couple of case studies. And the first one is a really cool case study to do with your students. And I actually wrote this case study because I felt like about half of my students were this person. I made the name up, Charlene. Charlene had always felt that something was missing in her life, but she could never get a handle on what it was. After all, she came from a good Christian home where her parents would soon be celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. She had plenty of money, a good church, and a positive school environment. So this is like the all-time cool kid. One day, she read an article which stated that fathers spend an average of 8 to 12 minutes a day with their children, which is, by the way, a true fact. The statistics caught her eye. Her first reaction was to feel pity for all who had it so bad, and then she realized that over a period of a week, she seldom spent even that amount of time with her own dad. She loved him, but she realized she really didn't have much of a relationship with him. In fact, I'm adding this, most women feel like they have a void even if their dad isn't around. He worked long hours, and when he wasn't working, he was watching sports television, reading the newspaper. Now, when he came home, he would say hi to all the kids and all that, but Charlene realized she and her dad had not spent any time together for years. She felt empty. She felt a deep void in her life. Well, there it is. And so then what happens is you, in the case study, you say to the kids, what would you say to Charlene? And I just, you know, if you were Charlene, what would you have said to your dad? And you get kids talking. It's, by the way, it's really powerful. okay? And then you could kind of give them, from there you give them Bible study, but that's just a case study. The other two are from my, it looks like from my book, Closer. And in Closer, and again, this is for some of you who are married, but what an opportunity for you in youth ministry to help parents with their marriages. And what these are is these are kind of devotionals. And what happened was Kathy and I tried to grow spiritually intimate with each other, and yet I was much better at discipling others, and Kathy and I just struggled with this. And we'd buy the James Dobson book, and we'd try to do a devotional every day, and you know, we'd do fine for about 4 or 5 days, and then we'd miss a day, or we'd get frustrated with each other, or the kids took over, or we'd lose the book or whatever, and then you know, then it was kind of passed. Then we buy the Dennis Rainey book, because you know, there's all these different marriage books, and we kept trying all the different things. And finally a mentor of ours said to us, changed our life in terms of our marriage, said, if you would spend 20 to 30 minutes a week in some kind of a devotional, that's how you should start. You guys are trying to do too much. And you know what? I thought to myself, how wimpy. And then I thought, I'm not even doing that with her. So we made a commitment to have what we call closer time. And we ended up having a book called Closer, which is the best-selling marriage devotional right now in the country. But this is a closer time. What is God telling you to do? And I remember us going through this, and then we had some faith conversations, and then even a step closer. So it's kind of like things for parents. But again, what I would say is make sure that you're resourcing kids. Make sure you're resourcing parents. You don't have to be the person to do the teaching. Just make sure that they're resourced well to help their family succeed. It looks like we put two of them in here because you also have the too busy one. Okay. And anyway, good. That's a fun illustration, too. It's a you can steal that illustration and use it. Okay. Yeah.
The case study.
Mm-hmm.
In the setting that you would employ that, would it just be with youth, or would you try to have parents?
You can do it either way. I actually have tried it both ways, and actually I thought it was better with youth. And the reason was because the youth were much more open. If their parents are there, they're not going to go, hey, you know, I'm like, kids will immediately go, wait, that's me and my dad, and my dad's really a cool guy, but I just don't have that relationship. What can I do? I mean, you get some tears. If dad is in the room, they're going to back that off a little bit. I've seen it with where it still can work, and sometimes it makes dads squirm for a good reason, okay? I want to make one last comment, but I want to make sure I cover any questions, and I'll hang out here. I know some of us have to go check out, I guess. Didn't know that. Anything else? I'll hang out here if anybody needs this. Let me just say this about how I think what do you do with this stuff? A couple things. One is I work for an organization called Homeward, HOMEWORD. It's on your notes. If you go to homeward.com, you could actually sign up for a free parent newsletter. And the beautiful thing about signing up for stuff is you can unsubscribe if you don't like them. We send out every Friday a culture brief. Last Friday's culture brief, that would be yesterday, it was on sexting. And it was on texting, and it was on creating a media safe home. But some of the latest culture stuff, it is so worth it for you guys. We actually send out 7 million plus in a year. So loads of people get it. And we also send out a daily devotional that a lot of times parents, like that thing, like this Too Busy actually was partly a devotional that we took from another thing one time. So we sent out a devotional that's even shorter than that. It comes out every day. And again, you know, 41,000 people a day get that. We have a radio broadcast that has 50-some thousand a month subscribers to the podcast, but we also have it, you know, on radio places around the country, and you can look at that. Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars, and you may have an interest in that. I'm pretty excited that today people like Mark DeVries and Wayne and others come into a setting like this. It could be this small or it could be huge, and they come in and help parents and kind of the expert from afar. Charge the parents or make some money on the deal. You know, I know a church that, you know, it cost them $2,000 to bring this out, and they charged $15. They had 1,100 people from their community come out. They made major dollars, and I was thrilled. You know, and they have to, obviously, you got to pay, when you have nationally speakers, you got to pay the $2,000 to get them and to pay for, you know, all the other things that come along with it, and Homeward sets it up and all that. But it is a really cool thing, and some of you should take a look at that. You can go on Homeward's website and get the 6 seminars that we do. There's other people that do that. Please don't just think I'm giving a big pitch for Homeward. I'm just trying to show you what Homeward can do. Also, Homeward has some great resources in this. There is no way that I'm going to bring up this stuff without saying, if you went to our website, we have about 5,000 free tips and articles and audio and video on these kind of subjects that are all free. You know, parents can go to them. You can go to them. It's a really cool thing that you can do. You can type in someday healthy sexuality, and you'll get like 46 different, you know, articles, tip sheets, you know, culture things, audio, video. I mean, it's great stuff. Okay. And, as well as we do have books on this, I have a book called Partnering with Parents in Youth Ministry. I don't know if it's, I haven't been to the bookstore, but I would guess it's kind of out of this mode right here. Books in terms of resources that you could get from Homeward would be, books like 10, Building Blocks to a Solid Family and Confident Parenting, which have small group curriculum. And the small group curriculum is $29. There's DVD on one side and there's a CD on the other side. And so you never have to buy more books or those kinds of things. You can just use it for parents. And, you know, anyway, there's lots of good stuff on that. So just wanted to throw that at you, not as a, go, you know, buy my stuff. Kathy and I actually choose to take no royalties from any of the books if you buy them in things like this. If you buy them on Amazon, you know, you're helping us get our kids through college, that kind of stuff. But otherwise, we're here to, our job is to come alongside you. I mean, that's exactly why we exist. And you may want to hear more about us if we're unfamiliar to you. Okay. Let me pray and we'll go eat or pack or whatever we're going to do. Almighty God, thank you so much for these men and women. Thank you. Thank you for this conference. What a great conference. And I pray for each of the people in this room that, Lord, they'll walk out of here today asking the question, you know, why was I supposed to be here? And somehow they'll have a clear direction that maybe there was something, maybe from this session, maybe from another session, but there was something that they were supposed to take home with them that was well worth their time and energy and money. And Lord, bless them. Keep them safe. And thank you so much for them that they can be affirmed knowing that when they welcome a child, they welcome you. Wow. Pretty awe-inspiring. Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for the privilege to get to hang out with y'all.